This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
I want everybody to get out your handout that's in your bulletin and have it before you and open your Bibles, because our teaching passage is from John chapter 6. Verses 35 through 40. John 6, verses 35 through 40. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given to me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, if you do have your handout, you'll notice that there's a few differences and features in that handout for today. There's some blanks that you need to fill in along during the sermon, but don't worry. I laid the sermon out first and then just copied this into the insert and just removed some words, so you can be guaranteed that I am going to use those sentences that those blanks appear. Now we're going to start with verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Now Jesus is talking to the people and tells them something about who he is. He says, if we believe in him, we'll never thirst or hunger. That's a bold declarative statement the Lord is making here. If we believe in him, we'll never thirst or hunger. But to understand this, we need to know two things about God. Okay? Titus 1:2 says, and Paul has just introduced himself. This is the beginning of his epistle to Titus. Paul says something great about God. In hope of eternal life, which God, catch this, who cannot lie, promised before time began. What does this say? This says that God cannot lie. It is against his holy nature to even be able to lie. He can't do it. If God lied, you know what would happen? That would mean he's committing a sin, then he's no longer perfect, and then he can't be God, because a perfect God can't do sinful things. So God cannot lie. And here's the second thing. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. So what does this verse tell us? God, his work is perfect. All of his ways are justice. So God is what? Perfect. He's perfect, but he's also never wrong. God is never wrong. Is everybody with me so far? God is never wrong. Now, this next detail is important to understanding this passage also. Who is Jesus? Okay, everybody says, well, yeah, everybody knows he's the Son of God. But let's look at John chapter 10, verse 30. John chapter 10, verse 30 says, and Jesus is talking, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. So what does this verse tell us and teach us about who Jesus is? Jesus is who? He's God. Okay. Now, what we've established here are the first two elements in a logical pattern. Here's a big academic word. This is a logical pattern called a syllogism. Everybody remember that from high school English? A syllogism is where you state one proposition, the next thing backs it up, so therefore. So here we go. Follow along. God cannot lie, and God is never wrong. Jesus is God, so therefore, Jesus cannot lie, and Jesus is never wrong. Are you following this logic here? Since Jesus is God, and God cannot lie, and God is never wrong. Since Jesus is God, therefore, it logically follows that Jesus cannot lie, and Jesus is never wrong. But that leaves us with a question here. We just talked about Jesus saying, whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever comes to me will never thirst. But sometimes we do seem to be a bit dry and thirsty, don't we, in our Christian walk. Sometimes it seems like that. But what we have to understand is, from where does this feeling of being dry and thirsty come? Where does this idea come from, that we're dry and thirsty? Well, it can come from life. You know, life can leave us kind of feeling kind of wrung out, right? Life can leave us feeling kind of tired and worn out and all of this. But if you think about it, it comes, that feeling of dryness and thirstiness comes from our life experience. Would you all agree to that? It comes from our life experience. We feel dry and thirsty. Oh, Lord, where are you? Because life has, in the old proverb, handed us a bunch of lemons. I'm not going to use the next line because that's not relevant here. But life has thrown us some curveballs that we can't hit. Or there's a changeup that just goes around our bat, no matter how hard we swing at it. It feels really tough. It feels really difficult. But see, then that's our experience. But see, we have to keep in mind one thing. That experience is dangerous. Because that experience causes us to question Jesus, does it not? Jesus, where are you? You said I'd never be dry or thirsty. Where are you, Lord? I haven't heard from you in a long time. What's going on? What's going on? And here's the danger that we need to establish here. Jesus said, and didn't we just learn this? God can't lie, and God's never wrong. Jesus is God. So therefore, Jesus can't lie. And Jesus is never wrong. But that's the truth of Scripture. So what we have to get in our minds here in cement in our minds this morning is something really, 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 really important. We don't determine what truth is, and we don't determine what God is like based only on our experience. Do not look at Scripture and say, well, that doesn't work for me, so I'm not going to believe that. Scripture is inerrant and it is true, and we've just established two or three times now that God can't lie and God can't be wrong. And since Jesus is God, He can't lie and be wrong either. But He promised us that if we come to Him, we'll never be thirsty or we'll never be hungry. So how do we reconcile these? And it came out a couple of weeks ago in the sermon. I'm going to cover this a little later too, but I'm going to give you a sneak preview. If you're feeling dry and thirsty in your walk with the Lord, remember that truth of Scripture. And that should cause us, if we really are hungering and thirsting for God, that should cause us to seek Him a little bit more, because that's an invitation. Jesus is reminding us, you've used up all the grace I've already given you. You've burned through that. So guess what? It's time for you to grow some more. It's time for you to get more mature spiritually. It's time for you to come to me and so you can get more of what I have for you. That's what he's telling us here. And that's what this verse is speaking. If we feel dry and wrung out, that's Jesus saying, you've burned up what I've given you. Come to me again. Get closer. And I'll give you some more. If your cup is empty, I want to fill it up. That's what Jesus is telling us here. Now, the truth is that sometimes we have trouble believing that still. Verse 36 explains that a little more, because Jesus says in verse 36, but I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. Remember, Jesus can't lie, and he's never wrong. So does this mean that we shouldn't decide what's true based on our experience? And we just answered that, yes. We don't decide what's true based on our experience. Where do we go to find out what's true? What's the greatest source all of us in this room have to find out the truth about who God is?
Scripture.
Scripture. There you go. You probably got one sitting in your lap, I hope, so you can follow along. Now, moving on to verse 37. Because if we have problems believing, go to Scripture. Go to the Word of God. Soak in some more, and it'll lift your faith. Verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Jesus gives us a promise here. And it's a pretty cool promise, if you think about it. Jesus gives us a promise. Now, again, here's the quiz part. What have we learned about Jesus today?
He's God.
He's God, and that means Jesus can't do two things. What?
He can't lie.
He can't lie, and he's also?
Never wrong.
He's never wrong. Good. So you all are doing really well today. Okay. There's more. To learn about this, we look at Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? What does this say? Of course, it reinforces our doctrinal truth here that God can't lie. But there's also a wonderful promise in the second half of this verse. And it comes from, has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? What does this say? What does this seem to teach us here? Has he not said something, and will he not do it? Everybody?
No. We do it. He tells us he's going to do something, he does it.
There we go. Very good. If he tells you he's going to do something, he does it. And so ultimately, what does that mean? It means that God keeps his
promises.
God will keep his promises to you. If he has made a promise to you, hang on to it. He will keep it. But let's remember one key detail about this. And this is the most frustrating part of all in our walk with the Lord. When does God keep a promise? What was that?
When he wants to.
When he wants to. Very good. He'll keep his promise, and let's put a nicer spin on it than that, in his time. Isaiah 55 teaches us unmistakably, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither your ways my ways, says the Lord. So guess what? Our timetable is not God's timetable either. God keeps his promises on his and in his time. But we have that promise from Scripture that if he has promised something, he's going to do it. And now, again, since Jesus is God, what does that mean about Jesus? If he's made a promise, he's going to keep it. So, this verse in verse 37 says, all the Father gives to me will come to me. So anybody that God brings to himself, he's going to hang on to you. And he's not going to let you wiggle away and escape. Verse 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Whose will is the Father is Jesus doing? The Father's will. He's doing the Father's will. The Bible tells us that the Father's will is perfect. So if Jesus is perfectly doing the Father's perfect will, what does that tell us? That Jesus is going to do his work in our lives, and this is an adverb, perfectly. He's going to do his will in our lives perfectly. He's going to work out his will in each one of us. And we're going to see his will, and at some point, after all the dust has settled, and after all the ink is dry, he'll give us that revelation where we will understand that the way he did it was the right way. And we'll say, wow, Lord, thank you for the wisdom of your timing. Because his will is perfect. And his timing is also perfect. Now, verse 38, for I have come down from heaven. Again, he says, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. But what does this mean about Jesus? Can we trust Jesus? Can we trust Jesus?
Yes.
Okay. And there was way too much hesitation in answering that question there. Verse 39. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. What does this verse teach us about Jesus' purpose? Jesus says he's not going to lose anyone who comes to him. Does this mean that we can be secure in our faith in Christ?
Yes.
Yes. That if we come to him and we remain faithful, does this mean we have the assurance that we're saved?
Yes.
Good. Does the subject of being sure that we're saved come up a lot in the Bible?
Frequently.
What was that?
Frequently.
Frequently. Good, Derek. It comes up frequently that we can be sure of our salvation. Let's see. John 5:24, in the chapter we studied immediately prior to John chapter 6, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. So Jesus is telling us there, if you come to me and you believe in me and you keep your trust in me, you have eternal life. Right?
Okay.
Amen?
Amen?
Today's sermon is interactive, okay? Okay, then there's John, the apostle, you know, the one who Jesus loved, you know, John says frequently in his own gospel. 1 John 5:12 through 13 says, he who has the Son has the life, and he who does not have the Son does not have the life. These things I have written to you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. That sounds pretty affirmative, doesn't it? That you will know you have eternal life. That word for knowing there means absolute certainty in that knowledge and secure in that knowledge. There's that sense of assurance. He says, you will know that you have eternal life. This is one of those things where you just know. And you know that you know that you know that you know that you know. And it is certain because Christ, Jesus himself, has promised it. Now, let's look at Romans 8, 38 and 39. Paul's writing here about the love of Christ. But the love of Christ, obviously, is a great part of our salvation process because Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now, Paul says, see, God's loving, so we got that part, Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what does this verse say? Who or what can separate us from the love of God?
No one
and nothing. Nothing and no one can separate you from the love of God. Now, is this a promise from Scripture?
Yes.
Does that mean we can believe it?
Yes.
That we can just know this is true. God loves everyone in this sanctuary today. And since we've talked about this several times, Scripture teaches us that God cannot lie and God cannot be wrong. Now, His Word is inspired. So His Word is from Him. What does that say about Scripture? Scripture doesn't lie and Scripture isn't wrong. If we have a question about something in the Bible, the issue is not with Scripture. The issue is with us. The problem isn't the Bible. God's Word is perfect. It's inerrant. God's Word is inspired. It is infallible. In other words, God's Word is never wrong. So, we have a promise here from Romans 8 that nothing, no one, no power in earth or in heaven or under the earth, no creatures, or as I like to say, no critters, can separate you from the love of God. So hang on to that. Now, why do you think there are so many verses in the Bible about the assurance of salvation? Exactly. We question it too much. So he's frequently reminding us of that. And he does that because there are also so many people who need to know that they can just know that when we turn our lives over to Jesus, that we're on our way to heaven. We need to know that. We need to be constantly reminded of that. And that's why God saw to it that those verses are all through the entire Bible. God promised the people of Israel numerous, countless times. Of course, if you want to go through there, you can go through the entire or Old Testament and count every promise God made to the people of Israel. If you are faithful with me, I will be faithful to you. And if you're faithful to me, I will take care of you. I will bless you and I will assure you your safety. And then there's Jesus' own words, and then there's the Apostle Paul, there's Peter, there's John, there's James, and then there's Jude, and then there's Luke, all telling us that we have that assurance and we can believe what God's Word says. Let's put John 6, 35 and 39 together, because we've kind of gotten there to 39. What do these mean? That He's with us, He is our sustainer, He will hold us up when everything else has fallen down, and we have that absolute assurance that we are saved. Verse 40, and this verse is full of promises. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What do you think Jesus means by the will of Him who sent me? Who is Jesus? The Heavenly Father sent Him, but He's God. John 6, 29, Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. There's more. This verse gives us another promise. Jesus tells us who can be saved if they come to Him. What does the verse say? That
everyone
who comes to Jesus will be saved. Jesus says everyone. And this is so beautiful because it doesn't matter what color, size, or shape we are. Everyone who comes will be saved. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, ugly, handsome. It doesn't matter whether we're tall or short. We can all know that if we come to Him, we are saved. And that's awesome. And what did we just learn about Jesus keeping His promises? Does Jesus keep His promises?
Yes.
There's another promise in verse 40 that's wonderful. What is that promise? And it's at the very end. I will what on the last day?
Raise him up.
That's the promise of the resurrection, that when Jesus returns, that old man, old woman, is going to be taken out of that grave. We're going to put on our glorified bodies, and we're going to live in heaven with him forever in our glorified body. Now, everyone who will be saved and everyone who's believed in him will be raised up. We read about that in our Revelation study. On that great day, when Jesus returns to the earth, on that magnificent day when Christ shall return with that trump shall be sound and we'll all be raised with Christ, on that great day we'll have that promise and assurance of the resurrection and we will be with him in heaven forever. You see, today's study hasn't been that complicated. It's been really straightforward. Jesus promises us eternal life, that we're not going to hunger or thirst. And all we have to do is trust him. And if we ever do feel dry, if we ever feel thirsty, if we ever feel like we're out of fellowship with God, that's him calling to us saying, don't be stuck in that same place where you have been. This is evidence that you have actually grown spiritually. You're not supposed to stay where you were. You're not supposed to stay in your previous spiritual condition. I don't want you to stay there. I love you too much to leave you where you were. This is me beckoning to you to come to me for more and to grow some more. And when you feel dry and thirsty, that's the Lord saying, as we've already said today. But I'm going to make the point again because it has to be made and we have to get it and hold on to it. We've burned through what he's already given us. We've grown that much to where what we had before is no longer able to sustain us because we're more mature. That doesn't mean we outgrow the truths of Scripture. It means that it's time to grow up some more and it's time to go to the Lord and drill another tap in that keg so he can pour his glorious new wine into a continually renewing wineskin. When you feel dry, come to the table. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.